I would like to pray before we start this class, just because I always feel the Lord wants to share, because I'm just so needy and, you know, we cannot the source. You always feel His heart, and you want it to be Him. And so that's always the case. But particularly tonight, I feel a burden of the Lord's heart for this class, for the things of His heart in this class. And, you know, I always feel very in fear and trembling is a good word, because I don't want to misrepresent Him. I don't want to get in the way, and I don't want it to be anything of me. I just want the Spirit to share in the pure, you know, how He shares the spirit of the thing and not just the information. And it can go in when he communicates the heart of the Lord to us. That's what I want, because of His heart and Your love for Him. So let's pray, and then we'll start. Lord, we thank You for breathing the breath of life into us, breathing Your Son into us, and breathing the reality of His being in us in ways that quicken His life and renew our mind, wash us, overshadow us with reality, the person, bring us to life by His Lamb life, things that we wouldn't think of or dream of or even venture in that direction, things that only the Spirit freely shows those that love Him. And we need You, Lord. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need the breath of life. We need the guidance that He can give Him who has ever been involved in this sacrifice from before time, and knows that that Spirit is in us. So we give ourselves to You and this time to You, and ask that You would land upon that which glorifies the Father and will minister life to the hearer. And just order however You would be pleased for this time together to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to kind of follow through now with the order the Lord gave me. Last class, we were in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9, and in the first part of that verse about washing the body of the sacrifice. And that was really kind of later in the progression of building the altar in yourself, if we could put it on that basic level, where we began with, and we haven't gone there yet, but the laying on of hands, and then we progressed in the order as set forth in Leviticus, dividing the pieces, sprinkling the blood, all of the steps, and they're in order, and they're in spiritual order. And I don't want to recap everything every class, because it takes a lot of time, and we can build on those foundations. But when you get to the washing of the body of the sacrifice, that is the step before lighting it up and offering it. I mean, we're at the end game. You know, at that point, we're right to the point of manifestation and of us offering. And so, every class I really have no game plan. I'm just really just, Father, what is in Your heart? What is Your order? What do You have to say? So I'm always surprised week to week with the order that He gives, and a little bit in awe of Him and the way He shares His Son and how they line up with the class that goes before it. It just blows my mind every week, really. And this week is no different. But when I got to the place where we were going to go from the first part of chapter 1, verse 9, which is washing the head, the legs, the suet with water, and the second part of the verse being, and the priests shall then turn the whole offering into smoke upon the altar. So that's the second half of the verse that we focused on last week, which is washing the body. So we were just right there, and the Holy Spirit said, you know, stop right now, and go back to the very beginning, which we never focused on. The first step, the Lord didn't focus on, laying the hands on the sacrifice, which is really the first, after choosing the actual lamb, that's the first thing that we are intimately participating in, involving the sacrifice. So let me just read, because maybe that will help. So turn it to smoke. So once the sacrifice has been washed and it's going to be turned to smoke, what's something that happens when it turns to smoke? What would that think? What does that mean to you in your mind, in your understanding? Savors? Yeah, right? That's right. Anything else? Turn to smoke. All this is for you, because what the progression the Holy Spirit gave me, it's good if you can follow him through it. So I'm not just talking right now. I'm really trying to give you something the Lord gave me that may really be a blessing to you. So what we're doing now isn't trying to find the right answer, but find the Lord's reasonings, if you will. Turn to smoke. Very good. It's gone in the form that it was previously, so it's changed forms. It's really good. Amen. Anything else? Just there's no right or wrong answer, really. We're just thinking right now.
It expands.
It goes ascends. It ascends. Right. Right. It was more temporal before it turned to smoke. It was still a temporal thing, but when it turns to smoke, it's eternal. So it's changing, if you will. But this is how the Lord said it. But if all things have not been being transformed to the eternal or turned to smoke, you could say, but we don't see that till the end. But if every step of the journey with the sacrifice has not been transformed to the eternal, then there's no way there will be an ascension at the end. So Colossians 1:17, remember how last week in the verses of washing the body of the sacrifice, we saw that all that water had to flow from the head because you laid the pieces in order before you washed them. And it was the head and the fat and the inward parts laid there. And then we said the reason they were laid there first before the washing was so that the head could wash his own body with his own fullness, and the oneness of head and body, members and head, would bring this flow of cleansing like Ephesians chapter 5. So that's kind of last class, right? And we really saw the oneness in the washing of the body, in the washing of the word. That was so apparent and so beautiful and so clear in the scriptures. So there's something eternal happening there, where what's in the eternal risen God, the head of the body, we are raised together, Ephesians tells us. Raised, that's eternal, and seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there's something from eternity or from heavenly places that's pouring down into us down here in our bodies. So that's heaven touching earth, but really through oneness, it's head filling member. But it's making the member not earthy, but from above, from in union with Christ. And we really see that in the washing. And we really feel that when someone's sharing the word with us. Chris?
I just thought something you said was kind of cool. So like you were saying that it starts and pours down from heaven, and then I was thinking the smoke goes back up to heaven. So
that's right. Very good. See, that's really good. And that's going to play right into the thing the Spirit shared. So I believe the Holy Spirit shared that with you for sure. That's very cool. So, yes. So you have such a flow of eternity. We were so liberated in our hearts when we heard the sound, the sweet, sweet sound of oneness with the washing. Didn't you just feel like, I can breathe again? There's hope. Everything that's in the head can flow into me because I am joined, because the cross made us one. And there was a freedom on how to do that. Like, I don't have to go take a bath, you know, in a separate shower room for the scummy, fleshly bestials. I am with Jesus, and he's bathing me, and he's doing it through oneness. And I don't have to get buckets of clean water from Jesus' side and then come over here into my yucky world and scrub away at all my... I'm just going to let oneness work. And so that's liberating, right? But every step of the journey has to be eternal and oneness. And the impression that here's Colossians 1:17. And so he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things consist. He is the head of the body. Not just the washing of the body, but everything involved with the sacrifice when it is in relation to us as the body of the Lamb. The body of the sacrifice, the members of Christ crucified, the risen Son who is a slaughtered lamb on his throne after his resurrection. Everything has to do with oneness. So if I start and I begin with laying my hands, we're going to look at that closely, on the offering, and as a substitutionary work or the first step, and then I go to the dividing of the parts and the laying of the wood and the, you know, all sprinkling of the blood. And in every step, I am not overwhelmedly, like what just was shared last class, gathered into oneness with the vine who is a slaughtered lamb. I mean, gathered into oneness with the lamb. Then that step really didn't happen. Okay, let me see if I don't want to skip. Okay. So there's so stuff happens that we don't understand. Let me just read something that I need to read this because I felt the Lord shared this. We may feel like the only place that oneness flows is when washing time comes, right before we walk it out, right before we're told to do something. Lay down your life, and we go to a class and we get washed, and then that's when oneness works, because we're going to come to a class. And we're going to spend time with the Lord. He's going to wash us with the water of the word, right? And then what happens after you wash the legs of the sacrifice? You turn it to smoke. You walk it out. We'll talk about that more later. So that makes sense. So we come and we want to hear a powerful message, the word, and trust it is being applied to us like water that washes, which it probably is if our hearts are in that place. And then we want to set out to walk it out in our lives. All the while, never identifying and flowing in oneness with the sacrifice in every step that preceded that final preparation. Okay, so washing with water, the body of the sacrifice, as seen in Ephesians 5, that was one step before the altar fire hit and everything manifest. But there's like 5 or 6 or 7 steps before that, that if they aren't done by oneness, it doesn't work. I mean, I hope that's correct. It's a thought. It's something to consider. It's something to ask the Lord if that's right. Ask the Lord in a real personal way in your own life, you know, not in a teaching way. So we want a powerful message to do something that we neglected because we didn't abide in union with the Lamb every step of the journey. If we did not begin in oneness and then continue in him, a washing over someone that has been in separation and is unformed will do nothing but inspire them momentarily and give them a sense of knowing something without having a someone filling and flowing in them already. Let me read that again. If we did not begin in oneness, and I think even last class, Randy said something about just go back to the beginning and abide in first love. If we did not begin in oneness and then continue abiding in oneness, a washing over someone that's been in separation and is therefore unformed is not going to do anything but inspire them momentarily and give them a sense of being able to walk something out or know something without that someone. Because listen, what happened? That someone has sprinkled that person's conscience. So they're like quickened by what's nature of Lamb and what's knowledge of good and evil. I mean, it's their inward, his inward parts, those inward parts have been divided. Motivation, intent, all flowing in their inward parts from the Lamb's motives. I mean, that's a oneness thing. Having those inward parts possessed through union, you can't replace that with a final washing right before you walk it out. That comes comes by knowing him on that step. Sprinkling of the blood. There isn't that deep, so knowing the poured out lamb life as it relates to my comprehension of what's at work in me and what's coming in this situation, that doesn't just come with a washing. It comes with an applying. I wasn't washed with the blood at that point. I was sprinkled with it. It was, and that word sprinkle in many versions is poured, but poured in a way through union. You know, that those steps take us to the place where we're ready for the next step. It's progressive. Anything that's progressive relies on that which comes before for the next step. So we have a false start. We get to the point where the word requires, there's a washing or a sense of, you know, now it's time to lay down my life. Now it's time to turn this thing into smoke and release the lamb. Now it's time to go the extra mile to love my enemy, right? But there hasn't been oneness from the beginning. I mean, real oneness, not this concept of oneness. I mean, real oneness, entering in, abiding, eating his flesh, getting it in you, knowing it on the inward parts, like deep. So you get to that point and you're like, oh, I'm washed, and I know that's the Spirit. He's giving me this. This is his mind. This is his Spirit. This is his nature. And the next step is to light the fire and release it into the eternal form. Let it rise. Let it go. Let the Spirit of it release out of me as fruit. But we know that it's not really him in us formed enough yet for some reason. The washing has cleansed us. But the inward parts aren't. It's still us on the inside. So we feel stuck. I don't know if this is right. These are things that just came to me. I mean, I'm not going to even blame the Lord for it. I'm just going to say, you ask him. So then we get stuck and we go, well, I want to do this, but now I feel like I'm having to fake the lamb. Or, you know, how many people are aware with our coping mechanisms when it's time to be the Lord and we don't have enough life yet? And we find a way to turn it to smoke, but it's not smoke. I mean, it's a smoke screen. But it's not a release of the Spirit and essence of the Lamb. And you wonder why, because you're receiving the Word. You know what I mean? You're being washed, your body, with pure water. But there's things that needed to happen before that to get the sacrifice ready for a pure ascension. What is a pure ascension? Where it's purely him, not us. The removal of us. The forming of him. The real work of the cross. And so if those things weren't comprehended by oneness, then how could we be ready? How could anyone be ready to walk into a fiery trial that's going to turn something into literal ashes and smoke without it really being Christ? It's just, we can't do it. There's no shame in that. It's an impossibility. It's not possible. Without me, you can do nothing. You can give your body to be burned as a burnt offering, but it's nothing. Where's the love? Where's the oneness? Where's the union and the flow? It has to be there. It has to be there. Not just water, not just a body washed, but sap filled. That sacrifice has to be ready. So we can go, well, I'm going to do my best then. And this can bring a fake lamb in our walk, trying to do and be what we know is required and desired. We know this is what we want it to. But it's stuff that only the lamb can fulfill through us. So we bring, you know, fleshly and religious methods. And we try to find another way to sneak behind the veil, like smoke does to the Father. That isn't the lamb, instead of the sacrifice doing it. So Jesus says, I'm the way to the Father. No man comes to the Father but through the sacrifice. So that's great teaching. You know, all this is it's just great teaching, whatever. Who cares? You know, really, who cares? You know what I mean? But if we don't, if I don't personally in my life, I mean, it's for me. If I don't go back to the beginning where I, chapter 1, verse 4, take my hands and lay it on the head of that slaughtered lamb and say, it's all about you now. You're my head, not just my substitute, you are, but I'm identified in you in your death. I'm identified in you in your burial. Where you die, I die. Where you're buried, I'm buried. When we stick this knife in you in about 2 seconds and your blood goes everywhere and you're dead, I'm dead. That's my death. That's my sin that put you to death, and the nature that made that sin also died with you because I'm identifying with you. And from that moment of laying on of hands, the first movement of union with the sacrifice intimately is when we lay our hands on that head. From that point forward, everything is oneness. Nothing is teaching. Nothing is faking it and finding ways to be lamb-like and to get by. Everything has to be oneness. And if it's not, there's no remedy. There's no counseling. There's no amount of washing if you're not going to take the word of his heart and apply it in the ways that the water's crying out for. I mean, that first step is really identifying in his death in a real way. And we can look at that if the Spirit grants time. So we want to cry it out or fast it out, this void, or work it out in a certain way of I'm just going to get after it, but you got to get after him. Well, how are you going to get after him? It's got to be through oneness, through union, through about got to. It ain't going to work. You say, well, inspire me. Yeah, share another sermon to inspire me. Maybe I can walk it out then. No, you're not going to walk it out if you haven't laid your hands on the sacrifice like every beast that went into Noah's Ark did, and let atonement cover you and get through that death in him. You're going to happen. You're going to have to go through that. You're going to have to know that. No one's going to know it for you. Someone can love you to the end, to the moon and back. It don't matter. You got to abide. You got to know your death with Christ, your burial with Christ. It's got to be, you got to be, you got to possess that land with your own feet. Your own, you know what I'm saying? You got to just be like hell-bent on getting him. And then you progress to the next step, and you have that same heart, that same first love, that same focus. It's just you, Jesus. You are the fulfillment. Your death is the fulfillment, but I have to enter in through that. I have to become one with that. Not just identified, but identified unto experiential participation where it changes me from temporal to eternal. Everything needs to be turned to smoke. Every step needs to move from temporal me to the eternal him through oneness, through abiding. It has to fill us, you know. And if it doesn't, how sad is that for him and for us? I mean, I'm so burdened with this. It's not just a class. It's a real thing in my heart I feel from the Lord right now. I really do. I feel his love, and I feel his heart. There's not an easy remedy. We have to take our steps. And there's no problem going back to the beginning. I'll do it. I'm doing it. And saying, Lord, let's get this death, this first thing of laying a hand on the sacrifice and identifying in his death and him as the head of the whole offering and him as the fulfillment of everything that is here to come. And once I'm dead with him, it's all going to be him in me. But I'm not going to know that with my head. I'm going to experience it through union. And no man's going to teach it to me, although I'm going to be washed by the Holy Spirit when the word comes. But God's going to reveal his son in me, and the Spirit's going to breathe the essence of his being in me. And I'm going to be changed by it. And I'm going to know that I know that I know that I know that he is my life in this area. And no Alzheimer's or trial's going to make me forget this. You don't forget this stuff. The earth groans for that manifestation of the sacrifice. And it causes us to lay hold of eternal life. That's lamb. You're going to lay hold of a slaughtered lamb. That's eternal life. And you're going to take him into yourself as a branch. And you're going to let him get inside of those inward parts and that conscience and everything inside of you that functions the way the old creation used to function. It's going to get terminated and birthed by the lamb entering in through his sap nature of crucified life. And that no man can do that for you. No teaching can do that for you. You got to get after first love. And so it comes to the crisis when you get to this step. And I think that's why Spirit stopped me. He's like, you're not going to be able to turn that into smoke. You're going to feel like you can because you were washed. But if you didn't really hunker down and find me, your conscience won't bear witness. You're going to be offended. The sprinkling of the blood never took effect. So now you're ready to turn to something eternal, pure ascension or release of the firstborn. You can't. Your conscience is evil. It's not been purged and sprinkled and sensitized by the lamb mind in nature. So you're going to get caught on that snare. And it's going to blemish your offering or your inward parts. It's going to be your motives, your goodness, your intents. It's not going to be him dividing soul from spirit. And so it is, I know that this, though my soul be that way, my spirit is lined up and it is him, it's Christ, it's not I. And you're being motivated by another life. You know it's not you. You know what I mean? And you're ready to walk into that and say, this is not I. Another life is coming forth. And I know that because he divided me out. A double-edged sword divided, not just washed. But the word of God divided me on the inside. Joint from marrow, soul from spirit, motive from intent. And it got me. Cut out that flesh and open the path for the son to be the motivation of this leg movement in this offering. If I don't have that, I don't know what's going on inside of my motives. I don't know. I never let the dividing come. So it's not like God won't let you turn it to smoke. It's like you can't. You don't have the inward ability because Jesus has to get us ready for that by oneness. And he will and he wants to. This is wife of the lamb stuff we're talking about, isn't it? We're not talking about just Christian stuff right now. This is him getting us ready to be with him in oneness in the deepest way he is. And so, you know, there's only love, really. If you think about his heart behind everything, there's only love working in his heart. Only love. Even when that old prodigal went home after all that time, what was in the father's heart towards him? You know, only love. He wasn't upset. He wasn't just, why did you not take, you know, these steps earlier? He's just like, enter into the feast. Let's do it. Let's bring it forth. This is where we are. This is where my heart always is. Let's go for it. Let's go all the way. Enter in. But you can't fake that. It's good news in the washing. And our sneaky little souls will say, you know, amen. I believe it. Whee! It's okay now. And it's not okay until your inward parts are possessed, until your conscience is renewed by the blood, until the identification in his death has been known all the way to your core, and you know you're dead. We're always trying to get off the hook, aren't we? And be okay with our leaders and the people we want to respect us. It's true. I'm that way. We're all that way. It's just the way we are until it's Christ in us. But it's our enemy to be that way. Don't please men. Please God. Just be real. You know, we could take a fig leaf and cover over all this junk, but there's been no death on that fig leaf. We just picked it off some old tree and put it over our, and we want to look okay for a season. But then the Father's there with these skins that speak of a slaughtered sacrifice, you know, that gave itself to cover you in oneness so you could be brought into fullness through union. God, the Father, has those skins ready. We have fig leaves. But the fig leaf is easy because then we don't have to have God seeing our nakedness and then covering it with his son. But it's come boldly to the throne of grace, to him who has what does it say there in those scriptures? Naked and undone. It speaks of it there. But come boldly. Come boldly and let oneness happen. Don't not come. He sees. He already knows. He's gonna start. You know, let's go there. I don't know, Ephesians, not Hebrews 4. Let's look at the very word of God. It keeps coming to me, and I'm trying to remember it, and I'm not going to get it right. Hebrews chapter 4. It's verse 16. Let us therefore come. Well, it's after a whole bunch of good stuff. Let's begin in verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, thought and intent. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but everything is naked and opened to the eyes of him with whom we have. There's no creature that's not made manifest in his eyes. He sees it all. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him of whom we have to do. Everything's naked before him. Our fig leaves cover nothing in his eyes. We think they do because it makes us feel less naked. But in his eyes, he's seeing everything. Well, then seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven, Jesus the Son, let us hold fast our profession. And for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Lads, the context of it is offering up the Son. Man made those divisions of chapters. The help we need, the grace and mercy we need in our time of nakedness, is to be able to offer up the Lamb, to offer both gifts and sacrifices, to be a part of this priesthood, which is this new creation that's going to give the Father his Son. So we get to that place where we're naked. I'm not going to cover up with my fig leaves. I'm not going to do my fake Edie Lamb. I'm not going to go my old paths that are so formed in me. I can do it in my sleep. Anyone relate to that? You get to that point where God's going to go deep. He's going to get it real this time. And then all of a sudden, everything inside, I mean, I understand this because I'm the queen of the sneaky. God, does he deal with me hardcore. Because he loves his Son so much that he won't withhold chastisement from a vessel that wants his Son too. So he makes me aware of my methods. He just sticks my face in a loving way, but he doesn't hide my flesh from me. He's too good of a dad. I just love him for it. I love him for this. And so he goes, you know what? How many times do we get to this point where it's time to turn it to smoke and bring forth fruit, and you can't because you know it's just a smoke screen. It's just that fakey lamb or that old way of looking good or seeming something. Do you guys know what I mean? I know what I mean for me, but we all have our own methods. Everyone has their own ways. And maybe those ways are based on what we feel comfortable with or what we're good at or how we can look good outwardly or the giftings of faking, acting, you know, lamb-like giftings. I don't know. We all have our own ways, personality types that can, yeah. We all have our own special abilities in these areas that are not crucified. What was that? We all have our own superpowers. We do. And it's like when you get to this point, you're like, all those options rise, and they're so much more appealing. They're fig leaves is what they are. They're just the fig leaf. It's the fig leaf fruit. It's so much more fun for the flesh than just standing there naked before God, like the great high priest. And he goes, you know and I know that those inward parts have not been possessed by my nature. You know and I know that conscience has not been purged. You know and I know that that double-edged sword hasn't done its full job. You know and I know that the identification with my death hasn't been yours in the way that it's going to walk you through this trial. So what do? We go, just stand. Our fig leaf doesn't make us not naked in his eyes. It just makes us live in a lie. and stay hard and stay far from him for longer. The fig leaf is all for us. It just is. We take that thing down. We stand before him who sees everything, of whom we have to do with. And he's like, I got grace. I got mercy. Because you're my body. And I'm the fulfillment. Not just in the washing of the water, but in every step. The slaughter, the dividing, the sprinkling. It's all me. And it's all my life. And I do it all for you and through you. You just got to get with me in a real way. So where's this mercy? Is it to say compassionate ministry? Oh, I love you. You're special to me. You know, I know you care. I know you've tried really hard the 15,000 times we've been down this road before. And the fact that you haven't left is very endearing to my heart, which it probably is. And he's not playing the compassionate ministry card there. Because he's not compassionate to our flesh that's been standing in the way of oneness. But he is merciful in the sense that he's like, everything that is mine is yours. It's all yours through oneness. It's all yours. You got better than compassion. You got me. And I'm going to give you the real deal right now if you let me help you and obtain of my fullness. Have we all received and grace for grace, that kind of grace. He's like, but you got to do it for the whole part, all the way, all the way. And you stand there and he does gather us into his heart. He doesn't reject us. He doesn't say, you can't abide, you failed, you were, you know, you hurt my feelings, you deceived everyone for too long in thinking you're a lamb. And it kind of makes me mad, so go away. He probably should. I mean, in the temple, he wasn't very happy when he took his whip. But he died and bore our crap, all of it, so he could bring us in and he could dwell in us. And so, you know, I just feel like there's either going to be a class about Leviticus or God's going to use this time of gathering in this incredibly precious heart cry. And he called, and he's calling his son out of his people, and he called. That's the name of the book. That's the Hebrew name. And we're going to hear the call, and we're going to hear the Father's desire for the real Jesus to come out of us in the ways that he's prescribed through the altar and sacrifice. And we're going to hear the steps that he's shared with us, how to cook this thing, how to prepare this offering, how to make it ready for him. What does the bride do? She hath made herself ready. What did the wise virgins do? They made themselves ready. Ready for what? Ready to be one with the Lamb when the fire hit. What really, if you're a wife of a sacrifice, you're the wife of the Lamb. What are you? I mean, yes, we want to be ready to go be with him forever in glory in Beulah land, whatever, weird. But really, what would the wife of a sacrifice be ready for in his understanding of what's important? Ready for the altar, man. Ready for when the fire hits, she's going to be me. When the fire hits and it's time to turn it to smoke, what's going to come out of that woman is going to be eternity, my nature. She's going to be mine. She's going to manifest the Lamb in spirit and nature in her reactions in those fires. She's going to bring forth Christ. Well, you got to make yourself, prepare yourself. She has made herself ready. That's what we're talking about in Leviticus. These steps are the steps of the wife of the Lamb, or someone who wants to minister and be in that relationship, getting herself ready for him by letting him bring her into that fullness of his heart through oneness, the cross being the thing that did it, brought us. So she hasn't played around with step one. When it was time to understand that she's dead with Christ, when it was time for the atonement to be like the pitch that covered the ark, and she was one of the beasts that got into the pitch, that is the word atonement, and she laid her hands on that reality and said, I'm getting into the slaughtered son, and I'm riding this storm out called the flood, and I'm going to drown in it, and my dead body's going to be buried in it, and it's going to be cleansed of it, and I'm entering in. Yeah, she did it. She didn't just go, well, it's good teaching. I cried. I wrote a book about it. I shared with a lot of people about it. I understood it more than everybody else, but I'm still alive. He's like, you're not ready for me. Why do we even do it? Why do we even go through all that? Why did we listen to 9 sharings 59 times? To get exhausted? Come on. Come on in. Come on in. Abide in that ark. Die in that ark. Lay your hands on me and be one. Possess that. Handle that. Make it your own. Get it and then go on to the next step and do the same. Nobody's going to do that for you. You'll fake everybody out. But you will be dead on the inside, crying out for help. And nobody can help you. But you can help yourself. You can go to that high priest, and you can not put up your fig leaf, and you can quit trying to look good to everybody, and you can quit faking yourself out, and you can get after it and find life again and enter in. Wouldn't that be great? You can do it. It's all there. It's all there. It's there for me in the areas that the Lord's dealing with my heart on. And I'm not going to do anything but just look at his face, lay my hands on his that lamb and say, you're the head and the fullness. And I'm going to press in and I'm going to know you. And I'm going to find you. And the Father's going to reveal you in me and I'm going to have you. And it's going to be you. And when the fire comes, something's going to come out of me that is you. And I'm going to be able to turn it to smoke. Because it's going to be not I, but Christ. And it's going to be to the glory of the Father, because it will be the Son. And my God, that's why I'm on this planet. That's why God brought me here. He didn't bring me to new creation to go to Ireland or be a minister or teach classes or to figure things out about scriptures. Mallory can attest, I never was a study person. God help me. I'm still not. I mean, not in that way. He didn't bring me here for none of that. He brought me here so I would know Jesus. I would just fall in love and be filled up with Jesus. And that when the fire comes, he'd come out of me. And anything that happens between that day when I first came here as the biggest leper on the planet to the day that he can finally come out of a gutted vessel and it be Jesus, nothing matters. The number of classes or websites or ministries or internet, none of it matters. All that matters is that God finally got his son out of me in that moment when it could have been my bad attitude, my beast slashing back, or my sweetness that's just a fake lamb coming out, or all the other things that aren't Jesus that I could bring forth. But he got his son instead. That's why I'm here. I don't care. I think that's why y'all feel you're here. I feel like that's just one heart that we all share. And maybe that's why God brought us here, because he saw that heart in us. So I just felt like just the Spirit just said, pause. Pause and go back to the beginning. Don't rush forward into the cleansings and this leper offering and all. I mean, there's crazy stuff where it's just, but why? Why go into that if we're not so identified with him in the way he needs us, that it's not teaching, but it's just like, you know, we just eat his flesh, drink his blood, find his heart, let him deal with us, let it come, Lord, bring it forth, the chastisement, the whatever it is that you need to do, do it in me, Lord, and help me not to stop, help me not to go back. You know, those old ways, some of you may not have the old ways as deep because you haven't had the time to forge those deep ruts, but it almost gets impossible. You just, everything in you just kind of slides like water down that gutter that you formed. It just kind of goes. You don't even realize it's going. And it takes the move of God, a big one, to say, we're not going down that gutter trail anymore. And 25 excuses why it's the Lord and the Lamb, that we have built a fortress of reasons why we're okay and it's okay and that's Jesus and that's the real Lamb and it is smoke and it, and Lord's like, that is nothing, there's nothing eternal there. That's a stink fest. Take the thing off your nose and just smell the air. Do you smell a sweet savor? Yeah, but I know that I was right, and I know that I was trying, and I know that this is the Lamb. And just discern life. There's no Jesus there. So start over. Is that a bad thing? Just smell. You know, one of the things that disqualifies a person in the book of Leviticus from the priesthood is that they can't smell. The defect of the nose. Look it up. It's in there. You are not allowed to be a priest if you cannot smell properly. Amen and hallelujah. You can't offer up the Son if you can't even discern what's coming out of you. Stinks. And I have to, the Lord said to me, Kelly, are you serious? You're seriously going to throw that up at me and call it my Son when you should be able to smell that's not my sweet savor, Son? What is wrong with you? I mean, he said that to me so many times. What is wrong with you? You need to get your nose fixed. You need to discern life and death. Do you even know my Son? You can't even smell him? I mean, are those good questions? I think they're great questions. I think they're questions that God asks me since I've my infancy here. And he has never let me up on that stuff. Ever, ever, ever. To this day. And it's, I love it. I'm not condemned by it. I'm not shamed by it. I don't go into Demonville over it. I get encouraged. I'm like, Father, if you're talking to me that way, you're going to bring me into really knowing your Son. Because this is the real stuff here. This isn't teaching. This is knowing. He's like, you got to, if it isn't my Son and you can't discern it, then the first thing to pray is that you can start smelling the difference between life and death, between a corpse and a sweet savor sacrifice of my Son. I mean, I don't think that's mean. I think that's just love. You know, we have the Spirit for that. Little children, you have known him. You have the anointing in you. That Spirit's in us to know him. And then when all that reasoning comes up that makes it qualified as Jesus when it's not, then if your nose is working, you go, this does not smell like Jesus. No, sir, I will not offer it up. I'm going to get with the Lord, I'm going to press in, and I'm going to make sure that it is not I but Christ, and let it come, cry out, groan, press in, seek, you know, but do what it takes until there's an exchange of our stench and a release of his savor, and Christ is formed. Did you have? No. So, you know, that's all hard stuff. But that's why we're here. We're here to cry out, but not to cry out as a fig leaf. How many times have I used fig leaf crying out to be okay? God alone, the angels lost track counting. You're like, how many times, Kelly, has that been a substitute? Oh, I'm so sorry. That's a shameful thing, but let's forget about me. Let's look at you. I don't care. Who has time for that when I could be looking at your beautiful face? But, you know, sometimes it's absolutely part of the process. It's just real, as real can be. Other times it's just like, I'm going to get up from here and feel okay to go back to my stink fest with a little bit of holy oil from my tears anointing the leprous body of Simon. You know, but really. Or I'm going to say that counts for nothing. Even in the last class, Randy said, just don't even cry. Don't even go through your pity party. Just abide. Just abide. Just, we're not earning anything by all that stuff. In some ways, it's a fig leaf. So, you know, I've seen people come up and just repent and boo-hoo and poor me. And as they walked back, the Lord said they did all of that to lay all that sin and say, you know, and now I'm okay because I just repented publicly. You're not okay till Christ is formed in you. You can do as many fair shows in the flesh as you want. But God isn't deceived until he gets his Son. And we see the Father, he just keeps shutting every door until the door of faith. He takes us to that valley of Acre, and he just slams all those old doors. And we go, why are you being this way to me? This is mean. Come on, I'm trying. I'm here. He just keeps shutting every door until we finally go to that door of faith. In that valley of Acre, where we are aching with our Babylonian garments stuck underneath our bride, you know, our saddle. And we're like, dude, I'm hiding Babylon in me, that spirit of the world. And he's like, I know it's there. I know it's there, Achan. And until you let the cross come, it's going to stay there. But there is a door of faith. There is a door to enter in to me through oneness and get out of that place and start singing again the songs that you sang in the beginning. It's beautiful in Hosea how she starts singing in the valley of trouble. Because why? Because she finds him whom her soul loves again. I remember why I'm here in this valley of trouble. I love Jesus. I remember why I'm going through all this, because I want Jesus. And you just your heart, your spirit start lifting up back to your first love. You find him who fulfills everything, the reason all things consist, and he is the head and the fullness of the body, for it hath pleased the Father that in him would all fullness dwell. And you just start letting that come. And you're out of that by him. But you know, that's a heart thing. That's not something that you can come to a class and get washed. You can get seated, but then you take that and you travail in birth until Christ to be formed. You do all the things we shared in Micah last semesters, you know, where she had to bring him forth. She had to let her high places be dealt with. I mean, she had to own all that. And she had to press in for that seed. All the things that are our part. But you know what? There's, and we'll close here soon. It's already, I didn't do any of my notes hardly at all, but that's okay. But there's joy in that journey, because every step of that journey, you're not alone. It's not just you trying to get to Jesus. Or every step of that journey, whether it's in Noah's Ark, where it's just like, oh my gosh, this is awful. Or you know what I'm saying? Or he's showing you your evil conscience and he's trying to sprinkle that blood and bring you into oneness with his mind and nature and let the spirit bear witness with you and deal with those inward parts. You know, but see, when you do it with the head, with the Lord, with the offering, with that oneness that you identify with, the first step has to be that oneness. That's the thing I'm trying to get at. The first step, chapter 1, verse 4, the beginning of the progression, is you lay your hand of identification on the sacrifice and say, now we're one. Now I'm identified in you. Now what happens to you happens to me and flows into me through oneness. From this beginning point, it's all going to be union. So that every step after this, I don't do any of it without oneness with you, without abiding in you. And when that happens, you're never alone. The spark of life is in every step. It's not that lonely, empty religion. I have to do it. Fear and torment come because we feel there's no love. We feel alone. Fear and torment come because you feel all on your own, by yourself, on your own. And you get afraid. Do you ever feel like tormenting fear when you are swaddled up in total love? I mean, do you just lay there quaking in torment when you're just smothered in true God love? I'm terrified. What? No, you're not. You're ridiculous. You're not terrified. You're happy. You're loved. But when we're alone trying to do all this stuff on our own, and my Lord, we are tormented and we are in fear. And that's a signpost that we're not in union, that we're not in that place of abiding, from whence all these steps come and all the fullness flows and all the life will manifest naturally without us even having to figure out a way to fake it. He will come forth in his season, in the season of his life, and it will be turned into smoke and it will ascend to the Father as a sweet savor and it will satisfy him and it will be beautiful and it will be life evermore. I mean, it will be a feast. It will be heaven. It will be the satisfaction of the Father will overwhelm us so deeply. And if we don't feel it, he feels it. And it is the purpose, and for thy pleasure were all things created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. And for thy pleasure, think of that and see Revelation 4 or 5. And for thy pleasure were all things created. Everything is created for his pleasure. That means nothing matters but that which just blesses the heart of the Father. Nothing. All of the great things we do, and we do a lot of them. But unless it's this thing that it turns into smoke, and it doesn't matter. But when we just be with him through the process and let him overtake our land and Joshua our spirit and flow in us like water and fire and all the eternal elements and purge and cleanse and fill and form, and then we get to that place where it's time to turn it to smoke and it rises and the Father is pleased and it's like, oh my God, we've just reached his heart. And the Lord's like, that's it. That's why you're down here. That's why there's a universe. Let's roll it up. Roll it all up. This is it. This is it. And you know what? Every now and again, we just need to burn. It's a good thing. You just take all those things that we think are so important to God. It could be our fig leaves. It could be our ministries. It could be relationships and things that we've put above Jesus. And just light a big bonfire in your heart. Just burn them. Just burn them up in your heart. And then you, as the flame goes up, you go, Lord, just let all of it turn to smoke. What does that mean? Let it become something eternal now. Let it pass through death so that it's purified. It's not touched by this realm, but it's soaked in the Lamb, and it's released in his death, and it carries his savor, and it's purified in the flame. Let it change form. Let it be eternal now. Let it not be just earth stuff, even for Jesus. Relationships, marriages, ministries, everything need to be turned to smoke. We will never do that if we don't let the heart of the Lamb captivate us every step of the journey. We won't be willing. We can't be willing because it's his heart in us that will do that. And when he does it, he loves doing it. He lives to give himself. So there's joy in the offering when the Son does it. My God, we're like screaming, but we're like in one of those horror movies where they're slapping us on the... We're just like... Wah! You know, they freeze frame the face just to, you know, get some more money for the horror movie. When Jesus in us does it, it's just like, what is wrong with you? Why are you joyful when you're losing your life? Why is there so much love pouring out of you? That's Jesus. He lives to give himself to the Father. And he's my life now. This isn't me. My sister Jenny texted me tonight, and she said, one of my students told me that the Lord is using me and doing a work through me to minister life to him. She said, Kelly, I know it couldn't be me because I'm a very self-focused person. And I said, yeah, that's right. And I said, you know the nightmare I am without Jesus more than anybody. Because it's not us. We're not the one. It's Jesus. And when he gets to be in us on that level, then it can be Jesus when we have to finally go into the fire. And we won't be afraid. And we'll actually be at peace and filled with love. Because that's the way Jesus is. And it'll be real. We won't have to fake it. But we can't be there when we're still learning how to identify in his death. And God doesn't want us to be there yet. He's like, forget about the smoke. We're just here laying our hands on the offering. I sound like Jim Gaffigan. Forget about the smoke. Just stay where you're at. You're just supposed to lay your hands on my Son and say, we're one. I'm going to trust your death as my death, and I'm going to trust your burial as my burial. And when they kill you, that's going to be my death, and I want to know that. Well, I'm going to give myself to that. And he said, by the time you walk through all those steps, through my Son, with my Son, and by my Son, when it comes time to get way down to chapter 9 and it's turned to smoke, it's going to be nothing. It's going to be like breathing. It's going to be joy in the offering. Count it all joy, Paul said from prison. You're like, dude, it works. You'll be like, it works, it works. I want to tell you it works because I was the one person who was not going to be okay with this. And Jesus is okay, and he's not just okay. He's like, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I got joy bubbling up. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full, John 15. So, man. That's why I felt like the Lord said, let's just stop and let the Spirit get our hearts in that place of oneness so that we don't miss what God's doing, not in this class, but in the move of God we're experiencing right now in our body, that we don't miss and survive. Who wants to survive a move of God? I mean, but ask your soul that. Our spirit says, forget it, man. No, but does our soul want to survive? Is our soul got a game plan on how to make it through this time? It can't be this intense forever. Surely it will lessen soon. So I'm going to find a way to make it through and be back to my normal, happy self. Our spirit doesn't want that, but our soul can, because it don't like. That's where the soul needs to be dealt with. Called out. And be real with your dad. He's got answers. That great high priest, he's got answers. He's the answer. And he's going to give himself if we just deny that soul and seek him first. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the tremendous love in the manner that you gave your son to us. You didn't just ask for us to give him to you, but you gave him, Father, oh Father, to us, so that we could give him to you as oneness, as union, as branch and vine actually bore fruit together. You didn't require of us what no man could produce. You did not exact blood out of a rock. You put this lamb life in us, and you gave us the Spirit and the Word to walk us through as he forms and fills us every step of the way. Without him, we can do nothing. And even if we get to that point and lay our body to be burned, it's nothing without him. It has to be the right savor, the right person. And Lord, you wouldn't even have shared this with us tonight if you didn't want to comfort our hearts and gather us in. And your heart is here. Your encouragement is here. Even though it's speaking to us of being more serious and real, it's speaking it with such love and care and giving of your son. So help us to just be with you now, to draw nigh, to come boldly, to cleave and abide, to lay our hands and our hearts upon you in oneness, to draw your life into us, to be with you in the process and not care about anyone else's eyes or anything in this earth, but just set our affections on you, Jesus, on things above, on things that rise, on things that are eternal, on things that please the Father's heart. That's what we want. That's why you brought us here. So we don't want to forget. We don't want to forget our first love. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Sorry.